Hi, welcome to another episode of Hibernating Canada. I'm your host Tom, and with me this week, or as always, are
Dan,
Ward,
Mike,
Steve. I'm confused for some reason right now after that intro.
I am so confused. So, let's just jump right into This Week in Hobby.
This Week in Hobby.
Okay, so it's been a thing.
We'll leave you for last because you arguably have accomplishments. Everybody else is still in panic mode. Ward, since you've got work to do that also has to be done. Actually, you know what? Start with Dan because Dan did things.
What the fuck did you do?
Didn't you finish the Marine?
That was last week.
Fuck it,
I got nothing.
You're right. Ward, how about you?
I've been working on those buildings still and working on finishing up the scenario packs for Onslaught to get photocopies done tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what buildings you have left?
Oh, I've got lots of buildings.
Don't you worry. All of the above.
All of the buildings. So, just trying to get some colors thrown on them and some airbrushed highlights or dry brush, just so there's some sort of look to them. They're not just a flat color, and they'll be good enough to play at least for the weekend, and I can finish them up later.
Beautiful.
So
your hobby was good enough.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, as always, Ward's This Week in Hobby is painting scenery for Onslaught.
For some reason, I feel like I'm the terrain guy on the podcast for like the last like 2 months.
Because
like,
you've done nothing else.
Buying terrain.
It's all yours, buddy. All yours.
Oh, yeah, you hate it, so that's all right.
One would say your hobby is taking the scenic route.
Whoa! That was such a good dad joke. I love it. Okay, I'm going to go next because I have the second least third least. Yeah, Dan, you count.
Are you saying that I'm the least?
Well, I don't know.
Second
you might
least.
Have done more than me.
Second least. You're okay. Second least.
You might have done more than me. It's probably a close race.
It's up in the air.
Yeah.
I'm still working on redoing Imperial Knights to match my Mechanicus. So I finished that cohort that I'm working on for what feels like the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm adding in and finally making everything match, or at least having
a slightly more cohesive.
Yeah, so I redid the bases, which we will talk about some of the materials that I used later on.
Yep.
Did that. I've been adding the green into the shoulder pads and redoing the decals so that they're Knights of Tyrannus, no longer House Terran, because I always wanted to be Knights of Tyrannus. They're supposed to be blue anyway, so yeah, anyways, that's what I've been doing. Haven't got anything done yet, though, which is the problem.
So,
well, you got a couple days.
So fourth... Yeah. Or second most done is Mike?
Wow, you're going to go there?
Possibly. This might be a first, though.
I finished off 3 Gorg Hunters. 100. Okay. I finished off 5 Brutes. Yes. Okay.
If we go with surface area, he might still beat you.
Number of models.
No, wait, I got the surface area a bit. Wait a minute. And I've got the red half done on 10 Ardboys and 6 Gore Grunters on top of that. And all the flesh and fur are all done on as well.
So nice.
You didn't get to finish off the Hardboys? That's disappointing.
Yeah.
They really need to be finished off.
It's a two-hand job.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
I feel like we're pushing it a little here.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Sorry, Perry twins.
Oh, that's actually offside. Specifically just one Perry twin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom.
I painted a drop zone army. did we talk about it on the podcast last week that I was going to play drop zone, or was that after the podcast?
It might have been vaguely.
It was incredibly last minute, so I don't know.
I thought it was after. Actually, I thought it was after.
Yeah, so found out that War Machine was probably going to end up not being a thing. And the drop zone was close to on the verge of not being a thing for Onslaught. So I made an executive decision for myself to borrow an army of Mike's. And then
What happened with borrowing? Because that kind of failed.
It didn't fail. I decided I was going to borrow one of Mike's armies and play. And then when I got home that night, I had the idea in my head of maybe I should see if Mike has any resistance models for me to borrow, because I had the one starter set I hadn't started yet. If any of his were painted, I could like paint up a few of my own. Turns out none of Mike's resistance were painted.
Oh. So did you purchase these from Mike?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah,
I did not realize that.
You don't know what that's like at all, right?
No, not at all. I've never bought anything from you.
But so I bought the army and I got it in my possession on Wednesday. And I got my air compressor back from a friend on Friday of last week. And then starting Friday night around 9 p.m., I started painting. And by midnight on Monday, every single thing was done.
That's impressive.
Including the display board.
That was actually done, like, almost the first night I was working on it. Because it was just, like...
You were basing things anyway, so why not?
Well, it was... But while I was waiting for things to dry, I would, like, do the sand... Or do the first glue on the sand, then... do a handful of things and then wait for something else to dry and go from there. So it ended up being a lot of fun to paint a Dropstone army. I gotta be totally honest with you guys. The models are actually, after having painted Spartan models in that scale.
Yeah.
Did you do Planetfall?
No, Planetfall? But like Dystopian Wars.
They're
it's like
still
similar.
Not as good as the Hawks. I'll tell you right now. I got both.
Yeah.
Hawks are okay,
aren't
under.
The scale 10 mil and 8 mil? I thought the
12 and 10 I thought they were.
Yeah, Hawks is a little bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, Planetfall's a little bit bigger, but
oh,
not
is it? I thought
much.
It was the other way around.
No.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, but I did my Dystopian War stuff and Firestorm Armada, which is technically a smaller scale, but it's similar-ish, right?
Only and by like a factor of 5.
Oh.
Isn't it 1/1200th and 1/280th?
I don't know.
I really don't know.
They're small, but it is different because you do have infantry, which I feel like is...
The models are the same size, yeah. But the scale is not the same.
Yeah.
We'll put it that
way.
Yeah. They're both, like, a tank or a ship or whatever is, like, an inch or two long.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just... There's way more fun, cool details to do on drop zone models. And it was also my first time... using... Like, I've used chipping mediums before, but, like... Just kind of practice
not on an industrial scale.
Not on an industrial scale. That is the truth. And it was a lot of fun to do up all the drop zone. And yeah, my army's done. So I'm going to see any drop zone players at Onslaught, which I'm really excited about.
I kind of feel like I actually want to play drop zone now. But I'm not going to get my Sheltari done in time. And I'm signed up for 40K, so it's not going to happen.
You have like 3 days. What's the problem?
It's not happening.
I did an entire army in 4 days. You can do a third of an army in 3.
I have to call in with aides to work to make that work, so it's not going to happen.
You're quitting.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
true.
Matter.
But no, not going to happen. I'm still playing 40K because I've also put in a fuckload of effort on these nights.
Here's what you do, that. Steve. Here's what you do, Steve. You play on the first day, you drop on the second to play Drop Zone. And that's why it's called Drop Zone.
It's even in the name.
I like that. It's literal.
It is the drop zone. You drop to play it.
That makes sense.
It's where you go once you have dropped.
I get it. I got it on the first time.
I really don't think you did. So anyways, I'm going to just apologize right now. My brain is completely fried. I've not really slept much in the last 5 days. Because painting... yeah, so that's that for me. I'm going to lead right into the shut up and take my money, just so we can keep this going, which for me is stuff that's been around for a while, but holy shit, I'm really excited for more Drop Zone stuff now.
Oh, look at that.
Oh my god, this is making me feel like I need to finish the shut up.
Like, all it really took was just getting off my ass and forcing myself to work on getting the army kind of up and running. And now that I've got a pretty balanced force between basically two starter sets, an HQ, a couple battle buses, and some cyclones, it's a pretty standard...
All-arounder.
There's none of the really cool, weird, janky things. And I've been spending the last few days like looking at cool, weird, janky things, and I just need them all. Specifically the drills.
Yeah, I saw you commented on the... Drop Zone Commander group there on Facebook, and you're like, what do I need?
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, I want that.
They're like, you want the bikes? And you want the bikes? I'm like, do the bikes go well with the drills? And they're like, yes. And I was sold. And yeah, so I need to pick up some drills, some bikes, and then I kind of want to do a massive horde of technicals.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. I like that. That's cool.
And the fun thing, too, is that I can paint up the more feral stuff and with slightly different colors if I want. because they should maybe look more ramshackle. Most of the stuff that I was working on right now is a little bit more in line with the military stuff. The only thing that's not would be the 6 gun wagons and the 2 battle buses.
Yeah.
But fuck it.
Yeah.
So.
But fuck it.
Yeah. Dan, how about you?
Fuck, I'm trying to think.
I know exactly what I'm going to say.
Then go ahead, Steve.
It's going to be Prospero Burns. I know it's not out yet.
The Burning of Prospero.
It's probably going to be pre-order this Saturday, it looks like.
Yes, I think it goes up on Saturday the 22nd.
So normally we don't really talk about things that are still not even announced.
But for Shut Up and Take My Money, it's
always been.
I don't give a shit. Those models look insane. Specifically, I'm basically going to buy the set for Don't Care About the Space Wolves. Thousand Suns, the Armon model looks pretty cool.
Needs a new head.
Yeah, I actually don't mind the head. I actually quite like it. I like the fact that it's quite flat and Egyptian.
I'll give you my head. You can have it.
Thank you.
But just the tip.
I want the whole thing, if I'm going to get that. I'm talking about still models. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure. Penises.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for clarifying.
I do it for the listeners.
Yeah, but the Sisters of Silence and the Custodes are the entire reason I want that box.
That's Oh my god, they're hot.
Yep.
And another guy that's the Fell-Handed, not Bjorn the Fell-Handed, or what's his name, Greggy?
Yeah, I don't care. I literally was Greggy. Like, next, as soon as I saw Space Wolves. I've never been a Space Wolves fan. I don't know why. It seems like every 40K player likes the Space Wolves.
Have you read the Prospero Burns and those books?
Yes.
They were so good.
Which is why I really like the Thousand Suns, because they're tragic. And I feel like the Space Wolves are not... They're not the villain. And the villain usually has a little more development in my mind. And I do like the Space Wolf side of things, but it's not as cool as Magnus.
So I have a question for you guys, because I haven't looked at anything outside of Drop Zone in the last 5 days. What?
Like Stockholm Syndrome? Like games?
Right, locked in his room and...
Yeah, at least I've got a separate bedroom and hobby room now, so I can leave it to sleep. but if you're looking at the box... When you're saying Space Wolves, are they just Iron Armor dudes?
Yeah.
The set comes with 30 Mark III Tactical Marines.
Okay.
Including, I think it had, the sprue looked like it had 10 sets of chainswords as well. So, I don't know if they're, hands holding the chainswords or if they just, strap to the hips.
The Iron Armor guys are going to go directly into my Salamander's army.
I was going to say, I would trade you the Iron Armor guys for the other side.
I did message Tom the other day saying I would probably have more Mark III Marines than I need because none of my legions really heavily use them.
Yeah, I would rather have the Mark IV stuff. I would use the Mark III probably.
I'll trade you III. I'll trade anyone Mark IIIs for Mark IVs.
I think me and you would be using Mark IIIs out of anything.
I will trade you immediately because you have 2 calf boxes.
I've got 1 untouched calf box.
I will immediately trade you those 30. And I'm glad we're talking about this on the podcast. making some trades here, but anyways,
with ourselves.
The worst radio ever.
Us making trades. Call in. Wait, already too late.
Don't call in. Actually, please. No.
Steve's number is 780.
No, I actually would be more than up for that, but the entire reason I want the box is the Custodes, and especially the Sisters of Silence.
Yeah, they look fucking amazing.
Which
are great models, but for me, Iron Warriors would not really be using either one. So.
No, not at all.
Not in the least. No. And you have your own, the model I thought about buying, what are they called? The robots for the Iron Warriors.
The super amazing expensive ones?
Iron Circle, thank you.
The ones that I want 3 of but need to win the lottery first?
They are fucking beautiful. So you get that. No one else really gets them, so have fun.
No one gets them like I do.
Yeah, no, I want the Sisters of Silence because I'm going to run them, I think, if the rules are even remotely like what's leaked, and it looks like it might be a little bit of wish listing. But if they are even close to being sort of like a Q-Lexus assassin, but a squad.
Yeah, because they're all, in the fluff, they're all pariahs.
Yeah.
So they should be psychic blanks and fuck with psychers.
It admittedly, to me, looked like someone was really hoping for the best when they were saying that that's what they saw, because the stats are silly on the Custodes. I mean, maybe.
Yeah,
it's possible.
The Custodes are basically, in the fluff, they don't really fight as units so much. They're basically just an army of, captain level heroes running around independently fucking shit up and getting into duels.
This is maybe a little off topic, but they were talking, the rules say they're tough 5, 2 wounds, 2 plus, Eternal Warrior, 4 up in ball. And I was like, oh, whoa, okay.
For 80 points each?
Oh, I'm sure. I hope it's more than that. But it was
I honestly was figuring their rules would resemble Lone Wolves from the Space Wolf Codex.
Yeah, but tough 5? Seems weird. And the other thing that leaked with those rules for the Sisters of Silence is they have a 2-up save, which was like
Artificer armor for days.
Looking at those models, it's probably not a 2-up.
There is the question though; it could be Heresy versus 40K, right?
And they might start talking about like maybe they use their mind to deflect bullets, and that's why they have a 2-up. I don't know.
Oh, or whatever. Sweet! I would totally do that if I was alive in the 41st millennium.
Deflect bullets with your mind.
Yeah.
Just go full Matrix. There is no spoon.
Point is, I really, really want that, and I really hope that it's viable so that I can run them with my cohort mechanic.
Nice.
I will buy them. God knows if they will ever get painted or played with, but I will buy the fuck out of them.
Yep, because I know you love Custodians.
I already have 3 of them converted and mostly painted, so I feel really good about life.
I really hope that they come with brooms on the screw.
That would be pretty awesome. We're like a little bucket. Little mop.
Hey, it's not often. I
feel better now.
Some Mastercrafted power mop.
I do feel that, Steve, you actually might have won. The
Custodians. Custodians, yeah. Versus Mortarian with the...
No! Not Morty.
Morty!
Him with his, like, Mansweeper Swiffer and the Custodians. That would be such an awesome diorama.
This is an incredibly inside joke, but if you haven't seen the Swiffer commercial with Morty, you might have to Google it, and it probably still won't make sense what we're talking about.
Some sort of man-reaping device. I'm fairly certain we've made that joke on the podcast.
I hope so. Yeah. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
But it's probably been at least a year.
It might even be 2, because we've been on for a while. Oh, man. Ward?
That's my Shut Up and Take My Money.
I'm guessing your Shut Up and Take My Money is a flat of energy drinks for this weekend.
And a prompt plane ticket to the Dominican Republic right after.
That'd be okay for both of those. No, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to hold tight for some of my money right now, but...
You're just going to wait for people to pay you for the registrations, and then you'll pay for things?
Yeah, who would owe money here?
Whee!
Yo!
Hey, man, I paid him in mechs. We're good. I gave him a shitload of mechs and crates today. We're good.
That's usually how it works out between me and Dan.
Yeah, they have a system.
But I think ultimately I probably will pick up Prospero Burns.
Burning of Prospero.
Burning
different,
of Prospero.
Different thing.
I won't, because none of you fuckers will paint it.
So
we're not doing a challenge this time.
I've always been a big fan of the Thousand Suns, so that one's pretty good. And Space Wolves were one of my first 40K
rounds. I just want to throw this out right now. You fucker won't play with me. It's 40K.
Yeah, I'll play 30K with you.
Okay.
I'll play 20K.
That would be a lot of sentient machines, I think.
And you won't play with me either.
I would, for sure.
Wait, when's the last time you played me, Steve?
I would play you 30K any day of the week.
We're really good today.
When was the last time you played?
We're way off topic.
We're so on topic.
I'm done. Go, Mike. What are you going to spend money on?
Actually, I've been looking around at mats for drop fleet, satellite views, stuff like that.
Nice.
So, yeah, I want to get that ready.
That makes sense.
Okay, so that one from Deep Cut that you sent me, what would you order? Because they've got the 3 different types of materials that you can get now, right?
Yeah.
They've got your regular...
Vinyl, the cloth, and the mouse pad?
Yes.
So, neoprene?
I'd probably do the mouse pad, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's does what give you the worst too. Quality of picture, I think.
Yeah, but the vinyls are really sharp, but they scratch and...
Yeah.
And if they're glossier, it doesn't look as good for a lot of, like,
that's the only reason I want to try the mouse mat, because, honestly, it's because it gets scratched. Because I've got their vinyl mats are beautiful, but there's a couple where people have slid a TIE fighter across it, and there's this big white gouge.
Yeah.
Down there, like, oh, look at that. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. All right, let's keep going. Thank you.
Yeah, you destroyed the map.
Okay, I was actually looking at the Deep Cut Studios website the other day. Holy shit, they have upped their game.
They've got up to a million things on
there. This is the new mat that he's talking about.
Yeah, but they also, on top of that, they do Malifaux mats with the zones marked now, and they've got the 3 different... materials like you guys were just talking about, like
they've added those options for basically, it seems like, virtually everything in the catalog. And they still have that thing too where if you want like a grid overlaid on any of their mats, you just message them.
So I'm
so if you want hex maps or whatever for like D&D or whatever,
some BattleTech mats, so
you can just be like, oh, that's a cool looking mountain range or whatever, so
let's get a hex
grid overlaid on it.
Really?
Yeah, because they do everything in house, and I think if they're doing it on demand anyway,
Yeah, that makes sense.
They can just mod it up and just overlay a texture.
I guess at the end of the day, all you need to do is buy the printers and have a graphic artist, and you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So
holy shit, that looks good.
Right? No, the quality of what they're doing is amazing.
Yeah. Holy.
Yeah, so Mike sent that to me today, and I was just
so that's my take my money. There we go.
That's a good
right
one.
Right on. Is that it? Are we out of things?
Dan's out of things, because we're the same thing.
Yeah. Burning a Prospero.
So it's, I think it's just you, Tom.
I already said stuff.
Did you? We're done.
Yay. Okay. So, looking at our first period is going to be the actual product.
Yes,
I believe so.
Technical paint.
Okay, so Games Workshop has released some new technical paints, textures specifically for most of them, and they're actually kind of cool because they are almost all in previously existing colors, but just different versions of the texture.
Yep. Yeah, so they, for example, like I've got a couple of paints in front of me. So they have Agrellin Earth was one of the original ones. It was the flaky, like drab brown. Now there's Agrellin Badland, which has that. It's not like the flaky texture, but it's the actual like dirt crusty. Like it goes on a lot thicker. It's called Agrellin Badland. We also picked up the like Martian Iron Crust, which is the similar crusty dried earth version of Martian Iron Earth. And inspired by The Martian, I decided to science the shit out of this. And while we were starting the episode, I started smashing the Iron Crust and Iron Earth paints onto a couple of different types of bases. So it's still drying currently, but we will update you on... Oh, some of the very first cracks are starting to form.
This is riveting.
It's been about 12 minutes. We are literally describing us watching paint dry.
Also, side note, I just said it was riveting and I didn't even realize it. I'm painting rivets right now.
Oh, shit. We're the best.
Our dad joke game is on point.
Just kill me now.
So yeah, so I tried on two different types of base. There's a hollow blank base, which Secret Weapon Miniatures does them in the 40K style, so that you can have those sunken in details like water, text, texture, or these texture paints if you need to put them on extra thick. You have a couple mils to fill in.
I should also mention both of these bases are hex bases.
Yes. Battletech for days.
What other base would you use?
Even my 40K models go on.
You can use literally any other base. It's better?
Nay.
Nay.
Disagree. Nay. Can I take a look at these? Because I actually, I tried one of these out the other day.
So that one is, the one you're currently holding in your hand, I know, great radio, is the Martian Iron Crust with a little bit of the, I just flipped one upside down. Sterling Battlemire, which is like the thick, crusty, sandy one.
Yeah,
and a little bit of the old Martian Iron Earth in the corner, just to have a side by side.
Yeah. So the thing that I really like, I like the color of the Martian ones, but
yeah.
I'm a little disappointed in how little it actually cracks. Like you look at the pictures they have on the website.
No. So I found this out because I went through the same thing with my knights on their bases because they were not crackling either. You need to have an insanely smooth base. What you do,
they do actually recommend using gloss varnish and stuff on some of the articles on the like Games Workshop today or whatever they call their blog now.
So what I did and found that works really, really well is if you paint PVA glue over top of it and then wax it and then seal it with Ardcoat.
No, but like all I'm saying is as someone that's used the previous crack one, it's actually
I know what you're talking about. The regular iron.
You're an OG crack user.
I'm an OG crack user.
Yeah, but this one's a lot thicker, so it will hold together.
Yeah, but like all I'm saying is, as far as ease of use goes, it wasn't...
Without a doubt, I agree.
And then
not just slap it on a base and away you go. There is prep required.
And then the other critique that I would say is from everyone that I've talked to about this product, you have to use twice as much to get any real crack effect.
Which is why the pots are twice as big.
Yeah, but it makes it less cost effective, right? Yes. Like you're saving a dollar buying a larger pot, but to put it this way, I bought green stuff, a can of primer, and two of these new paints the other day, and walked out of there spending $55.
Yeah, I picked up four of the texture paints, and it was like a hair under $40.
Yeah, I...
which was a little more than I expected, but
whatever. You're totally right, though, on the usage. Like with the Martian Iron Earth that I was using, I did three night bases and had to pick up two pots. Like, you put it on, and I fucked up once, but I thought I was going to get through one pot and maybe have a little left over, and then the other one would be for future models.
Yeah.
I totally dusted one pot. It was gone after that, and it does, you do need to use quite a bit. You can't paint it on as a single thin coat of color. It needs to go on as an actual technical mixture. Like, you need to
You should glob that shit on good.
Yeah.
So I actually think overall they're really nice, and having one with a similar color that's a different texture is actually kind of cool for doing different kinds of basing effects, because I'm always a big fan of multiple textures or multiple colors, and sometimes if you want to still have it all the same exact same color but a slightly different texture, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, having the Martian Iron Crust and the Martian Iron Earth and the... like Armageddon Dunes and Armageddon Dust, like, you're not going to fuck up which colors there. It's pretty obvious. And they are a virtually perfect match. They're very, very slightly off, but...
which is
almost indistinguishable.
Something we touched on last time, too, is what's really nice about it is you get the different textures and also the different sort of size. So if you are doing a bigger model, you can do the Martian Iron Crust and get a little more height out of your... a little more volume out of your texture.
Yeah, a little 3D effect.
Yep. I have to say, I'm super happy with the... So, in the past, I've used the golden crackle medium, and I've always had a little bit of trouble with it, because it's tough to color. Like, if you add an ink or a dye to the medium, it changes the way it'll crackle. Like, Dan and I spent a lot of time working on my display board.
And on the website, they say you can add, I think, up to 10%. Acrylic paint to tint it, but 10% into white doesn't really change the color all that much.
If you're going to tint it into yellow, sure, that's fine. But if you're going to do black or a brown or something like a base color, it gets to be pretty difficult to actually get it to tone out right. So it's really nice that you get the black and the red base colors. I'm really happy. I think it's one of the best products on the market for this effect.
The black? Which one's...
They don't have the brownie black one?
No, yeah, that's just a...
Sterling Battlemyre and some of the other ones are like... they're like dry bark or whatever, but they're not black.
It's like a dark...
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Sorry, if it's black, I thought it was.
I thought they were going to do a black one based on the Lava tutorial where they do like the, you know, paint the Iron Earth and then paint it black before it dries.
Yeah.
But like I thought they would logically just come out with a black or dark silver or dark gray or something, but...
yeah, but
I was a little surprised that they didn't.
I answered your own question right there.
It would make all too much sense.
Yeah.
It would be logical. Color.
Overall, I think the new ones are nice, but I remember on the last podcast thinking about it and looking at the pictures they had on their website, I was really excited about them, but having used them and my excitement level has definitely come down. I can see a lot of uses for them, but I don't think they're going to be as amazing as they made them look.
Yeah, the sample ones definitely had a lot more effort and technique and everything and prep work going into them than just smashing a little bit of paint onto a blank base and 5 seconds later, Golden Demon level. Like, it's not quite that easy, apparently.
What?
And I'm not even looking for Golden Demon level. I'm just, like, looking for, like, good quality product with... the reason I like to spend money on Games Workshop stuff, and we were talking about this last time, is that when we were talking about the spray paints, is that I like spending more money for ease of use out of their products. So when I'm already spending more money and I don't get that ease of use, then I'm more inclined to go to other things that are infinitely more cost-effective.
Yeah. So I still think that the reason I still think it does have the ease of use is...
but I'm not talking about the old one that you're using. I'm talking about these new ones.
Yeah, no, the new one. I still think if you lay down and prep it properly, there's nothing out there that's going to be as easy. This is not an easy effect to achieve and make look good. I honestly do believe that because it's not durable. It's not your typical gaming effect. It's a little bit higher level. I know what you're saying, but I still think it is relatively easy for what you're getting compared to other things out there.
For the cost, though, because how much are you spending for...
what are those big pots now?
Like $9.
$9.
So the golden stuff is fucking expensive.
Yeah, those tubs are like $25 or something. Like, you get a lot, but it dries up in the can before you can finish it.
Yeah.
Unless you're using it in insane quantities, like very quickly. Yeah, and it's not cheap at all either.
No, I don't know what's in this particular material, but anything that seems to crackle is expensive. So the golden stuff,
diamonds. I'm gonna say it's diamonds.
It probably is. It's just powdered diamonds. For some reason, it dries up and crackles.
This actually makes me kind of curious because you can actually get a crackle medium from Vallejo. And I'm curious.
I saw it in the background of one of your photos from your army painting as a side note.
Yeah, I've got it. I haven't tried it out yet. And so I'm going to, you know, if I were better at this, I would have done this already.
You were preoccupied slightly painting an army in like 48 hours.
To be fair, it was 72.
I didn't know Vallejo actually even made one of those.
They make everything, man. Like, it's...
oh, I know they make a lot of stuff, but I had no idea that they did specifically a craffle medium.
But it's to add to other things.
So God knows
it's, it's not its own product that you can just throw down and be done with it, like these technical paints, right? So
yeah, admittedly, the Vallejo stuff, like their paints are probably some of the least durable paints. Vallejo stuff, it tends to, like, the medium that they use is, it's, I think it's a powder pigment because you can almost taste it.
It depends from one range to the other. Like the air range, the model range, and the game range, they all have a very different texture and consistency.
So. Yeah, but I could see using the model because that's the more realistic one, right? Mm-hmm. It's got the grittier textures, like more.
The model is more like the historical, it's like World War II colors.
Way more earthy.
Yeah.
What is
lots of grays, lots of browns.
Yeah, the black that I use is model color because I actually absolutely love this black, but it is slightly, it is not durable at all. I could see the crackle medium working with this because I don't think it would have a lot of binder that would hold it together. But I could see it working with their game, or I think it's the liquid or the model air. It's a little more.
Yeah, that's definitely pre-thinned.
Yeah, it's got more medium to it. I could see it not working well with that, but I guess why would you be using model air to crack?
Because it's what I use to brush on more often than not these days.
Yeah, I have to admit the airbrush paints are usually what I use to paint.
When given the choice.
So how do you find that these attach to the bases themselves? So you just paint it straight on to a base without any issues?
So far, the little experiment that I ran was just over just primered black bases. So there was
There's still some primer on that to hold?
Just some. Also, because like if it was gray resin or plastic or whatever, because not all bases are black, right?
Yeah.
So if you had the gray showing in the cracks underneath rather than the black, it might look really weird.
Yeah.
So I just went for something that was, again, is black primer. It was very quick and easy. And if it did show in the cracks, it would look more normal than gray or any of the other primers that I had. So
okay. Because I've got some buildings that I might apply some of this to. The Adobe buildings, they kind of have, like, their own, like, little courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some of this and kind of jammed it into, like, corners, like, courtyard. Yeah, like, that built up and everything. Even after I painted.
I would do after. And what I would do is use the...
I'm already painting them. So it'd have to be after at this
honestly,
point.
Honestly, the Armageddon... Or not the Armageddon.
Because the buildings themselves are gonna be kind of like the
Armageddon. The Agrellan Badland, and then give it, like, a bone or something as a dry brush.
Yeah, and then
and
even,
bone.
and then even in the corners, like if I put some of the build up, like the Sterland there, just as like a.
Well, to be honest, it was the Sterland mud, the original one, is what I used on the corners of the Adobe buildings that I did.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So,
all right, yeah.
I would 100% recommend using Sterland mud to detail MDF Adobe buildings.
Gotcha. Okay. All
right. It works. It works really well. So I guess for me, to kind of maybe wrap this up, there are useful, like I said, a little disappointed relative to how amazing I thought they could be.
Sure, yeah.
For where they're at. But all in all, like, they are pretty solid. But, like, we're looking at these right now, and is there any crackling at all?
The Martian Iron Earth obviously is the iron crust. You can still see it's visibly wet and moist, so it is not cracking yet. It has been approximately 20 minutes.
You can also hit them with a hairdryer, and they will speed up, and it does crackle.
Yeah, and that's the other thing with the golden crackle medium that we've used. We looked online, and they say trying specifically to heat up or dry out the gold medium to make it dry faster will fuck up the effect.
Yeah.
So there is no shortcut with it at all.
And I know with these night bases, they were done with a hairdryer, and they crackle like crazy. The one thing that I do want to say before we wrap up is if you're going to use the crackle paints, seal it with not just a matte varnish. Seal it with something thick.
It doesn't flake off and break after the fact?
Yeah, and actually the GW Ard Coat or whatever it is now works quite well because you can flatten it after with matte varnish. But if you don't seal it, it will, like, the... Some of the robots that I've done have to be glue. You have to use a glue seal afterwards and, like, specifically paint it under some of the flakes and hope to God you don't fuck it up.
That's always something I've been a little bit nervous about for these bases, especially if they're gaming models where they see a lot of wear and tear. Like, they get knocked over, they get picked up and handled. I've always been a little bit leery about how these stand up to a lot of daily.
They don't. Like, the single best thing about these products, is touch-ups. You smash some more on.
Yep.
And it'll fix up the texture and everything. And I guess it's also an interesting point, too, where War Machine-style bases, where they have that rounded shoulder, so you're not directly impacting the edges where, like, the paint is binding would be a lot more useful, I think, and it would preserve the job a lot better.
So. Or, if we're not going to play War Machine, we could talk about Battletech bases. You can get a lot of hex bases that are actually recessed, like, a good half mil.
Yep. Shut the fuck up. So again, like, the one for me sciencing the shit out of it here, it was, like, it was in the same style of those hollow blank bases, again, that Secret Weapon makes. So it had that, like, approximately 2 millimeter deep channel sort of a thing for the whole surface, so you could fill it in and it won't have that, like, really vulnerable edge.
Is Steve the only one that doesn't have Battletech?
I'm the only one that likes, it's now become more of a joke. I actually kind of like some of the models that you guys have got. It's not goofy, but I continually like to make fun of Dan for this.
It's low hanging fruit, I get it.
No, but in all honesty, the bases you're talking about, you will work way better. Yeah, for sure.
The recessed ones, yeah.
So no, again, Secret Weapon miniatures for your round bases, they have the beveled and the shoulder, so the 40K and the Privateer Press style ones. So if you want just hollow blank bases, they do have them for sale on the website. I do highly recommend Secret Weapon, and you can get their weathering paints and all kinds of cool shit at the same time.
The only
time.
Thing I'd caution, if you're going that far...
That's going to get expensive, as a side note.
Yeah.
Getting resin bases just to get plain hollow bases that you can then dump, like, copious amounts of texture paint into... It's, you might as well just get textured bases after a certain point.
Oh, the other thing I should mention with the crackle effect that works really well with it. Again, we were trying to segue away from this, but I've got more to add. Forge World weathering powders, or any of the weathering powders, yes. Work fantastic with it. Especially where it pulls away and it gets you some of the weird, like, you can see where you've painted underneath. Or if you've done, like, what I did with PVA glue, so it'll crackle nice and has a smooth base. And you've got that weird sort of... glossy PVA texture. It's got a little bit of a white tinge to it.
Yep.
Just weathering powders. Get the red. I used specifically for mine and worked really, really well, which was brown iron oxide. And it was fantastic.
Makes sense.
Whereas I did the exact same thing using light sand on my drop zone infantry bases.
Yep. Weathering powders on bases over these things is awesome. So.
Yep.
Again, you're not into a beginner sort of smash some stuff and done. Like, we're talking now, you've base coated the base, you've now painted it with gloss varnish, you've now painted the stuff on thick, probably with a trowel, because you don't want it to have brush marks in it.
Or just, like, a shitty old brush. This is actually one of the few times where I find, like, depending on the size of base you're working on, and I think we've got a bit of a different perspective on this, because you've been using these products on night bases, whereas I use them on, like, 50 mil or smaller.
Yep.
And I feel that... I think we can go into rating these right now. In a second. I do want to have one quick rebuttal here.
Trying to move on.
I know. Games Workshop doesn't really pitch their products as advanced products.
That's true.
Right? So that's we're looking at... If we're talking about advanced hobby products, we're talking about your Vallejos. We're talking about your MIGs. We're talking about your AK Interactives. Those kind of things is what I would liken more to more of an advanced hobby product. The Games Workshop range... In my mind, the advantage there is supposed to be ease of use. And this is why I'm a little bit miffed with it.
They are a gaming range, not a painting range, more than, sort of in their marketing.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah.
So, with that and the price, specifically on the new ones, because I actually would probably rate the older ones higher, I think the new ones would be lucky to get a 3 for me.
Really? That low? Okay.
Well, it's... To be fair, 3 is a passing grade. Right?
Yeah, sure.
But with how much they cost, the fact that you have to spend $9 to get it at all.
And you have to use it in large quantities.
Large quantities, and it's not as easy to use. It's like, I don't know. I have a hard time giving it more than a 3.
In all honesty, I have to not be on the GW fanboy train here. And I'm going to say, I also, you make good points, I'd have to give it a 3 as well. It isn't easy to use, but I will give it a 4 if you're doing anything that's using a Martian-style basing, because then it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, if you're doing Mars bases, it gets like a 12.
Yeah, if you're doing Mechanicum, it's automatic.
Yeah, it's not, you're right. 3 for normal things, if you're going to do any other color than red, problems. So I'll go with a 3.5, because I actually found it quite useful. Mike, do you have a chance to use it yet?
I haven't had a chance to use it, but listening to you, I'd probably honestly only give it a 2. If it's going to make me work for it, I'd rather work with the stuff that I'm comfortable with.
Fair. No, for sure.
I got my 3 different levels of grain, sand, or...
Yeah.
Make it work for it?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, no, it is. If I've got to work for it, I'll do it so it's the way I want it to look now.
And that's actually the argument that I'd make, is it's a product that's hard to use, but you're restricted to two colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, there reaches a point where...
Again, if you're doing Martian bases, fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't really see a fantastic use for it.
Word?
I'd still probably go with a 3 as well. Limited color palette.
Yeah.
And
just doesn't crackle.
Just looking at the comparison between old stuff and new stuff, like, it seems that there's quite the difference between the two textures applied and how fast they actually crack and dry, right?
So. Yeah, the Martian Iron Earth, the old crackly stuff, it seemed to dry in about 10 or 15 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. And the Iron Crust, which was done right beside it and actually done first, is still not dry.
So the Iron Earth took that long?
For me, at least, because I put it on fairly thick, it did take about 15 minutes to crack fully. Maybe, and it still hasn't cracked all the way to the center.
The old stuff that I have for the Iron Earth took maybe 5 minutes before you started seeing it.
And I think really? Half the issue with the Iron Earth and stuff is the first few batches were actually kind of inconsistent.
Yeah.
Where some people were saying there were entire batches that just wouldn't crack at all.
Huh.
And there were some that did crack, like, yeah, maybe more than expected.
That keeps, I think, for me, still firm in the 3 territory. That's not good.
Whereas... I think, did you get a chance to say a number?
Yeah, I said 3 too, so, yeah. It was
an unremarkable 3, that's why I didn't
remember. I haven't rushed out and bought them anytime soon, right? I always had a way that I used to usually base models, and cracking wasn't a big part of that, so yeah. I wasn't too concerned about picking them up or using them, so.
I've never done it until my Mechanicum stuff, so.
Yeah.
Totally fair. Whereas I've had these paints for a while, and I never really used them until the second wave came out.
And I've been using them for a while, and it's, I don't know.
They're good, but they're not groundbreaking.
Oh!
Jesus!
Nice!
Dad jokes aplenty.
Wow. That, you know, that might be the best one yet.
Is that the name of the episode?
Dad jokes aplenty?
That should be the name of the podcast, really.
But to give it a number, I'm actually a little bit more bullish on this stuff. I'm going to give it a 4. Because the test bases that I have going in front of me, the thicker hollow blank base is nowhere near dry yet after about half an hour for the Iron Crust. But the slightly thinner application of it onto the flat, like, regular style base is mostly dry, and I can actually see it starting to crack, and it does seem to be sort of in between that sandy cracked earth texture and the Martian Iron Earth flaky texture. So I think it's actually a really good blend of the two, and having the two side by side is working for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll update you again by the end of the episode as hopefully they finish drying and you have more final version of the texture. But I'm actually quite digging them. They're expensive, but... I paint like 3 models a year now, apparently, so I'm not worried about running out of them.
You're up to that.
What do you mean, apparently? You haven't increased your level, have you?
I painted other things earlier this year.
If you take out mechs.
Oh, if you take out mechs, it's definitely.
Yeah, if you paint out mechs, I got nothing.
You've got one Marine. One Space Marine in 2 years?
No, it's been more than that. It's been more than that. For sure, it's been more than that, because you've done. Now I'm digging back. You've done some Word Bearers, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know how many finished there are, but there's like tons, like literally dozens of mostly painted things.
Yeah, we like to start projects, don't we?
No, you got a new technical paint, I remember, because you had that one Word Bearer, and then you started in, or not Word Bearer, World Eater that you've done recently.
I can't remember when that guy was done.
I think he might have been done pre-podcast.
No, for sure not.
No, he was on the podcast. If we scrolled back far enough, we could find them.
Pretty sure.
Okay, fair enough. Anyways, so one of the things that I do think that a lot of these products are really good for is actually doing smaller scale bases, which is our segue into...
Smaller scale bases.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Not clunky at all.
Yeah.
So one of the things when you're working on models and... Surprise, surprise, Tom painted Drop Zone, so we're talking about Drop Zone.
But everybody here has painted bases on that scale at some point, where we've either done
like Epic, BattleTech,
would be counted as them for sure, Epic or
Warmaster,
Warmaster, whatever,
Drop Zone, Planetfall.
It's a surprisingly common scale that you do need to base if you are a Warnamer.
And a lot of the other textures don't work great, like the Static Grass and the Flock and the other textures. A lot of them are like wildly out of proportion.
As so. Big as the models themselves.
Yeah, I've seen some ones that use, like, clump foliage on them that are, like...
If you want them to be trudging around in heavy terrain like bushes and stuff, it looks great, but it's not grass anymore.
Yeah, so I guess...
Yeah, it's a bush.
We should start with sort of your typical sand that you would start with. Some people I know with 40K models or the 28 mil scale stuff will do playground sand or a lot coarser sand, and it can look okay. It's not my favorite type of basing, but it definitely gives you that rubble look.
Yeah.
When you move down into 10 mil scale, you really need to pay attention to your sand.
You get ballast. Like, go get the Woodland Scenics... Yeah. Fine ballast, and...
Or way, way back in the day, GW had the fine sand, and I've still got a little bit of that, so there's a few... There's a few large chunks, so they could be, like larger boulders in the way, but the majority of it is that fine texture sand, and it doesn't obscure the feet of the models, which would be a good indication of, like, you've got... Yeah. Too big of a sand grain on your bases.
If you're trudging through
a stone,
if you're trudging through a field of large stones, that's usually not a good idea to have your infantry moving through that. The ballast is the way to go for sure. And I think actually you can still get away with the GW current sand. It's quite fine. Or fine. Not fine.
Fine.
But yeah, ballast is your way to go for sure for your sand.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things I want to ask you guys is what kind of accents would you put on a base of that size? Because it's a lot harder to just throw the same static grass you would on any other base.
So I don't mind static grass, actually, in that scale. I think it's okay.
That was Mike judging you right there.
Yeah,
I know. Because you do have, I think you can represent foliage as a bush. They do grow.
Are you talking about clump? Or are you talking about static grass?
Like the clump static grass.
Okay, that's different.
Tufts are a little different.
If you're going to do just the straight up GW static grass you do for that sort of replaced flock when flock went out of style, that's sort of basic. Like
20 years ago.
About 20 years ago. And everybody started using flock. Yeah, sure. Don't do that. That looks a little strange. But I think if you're going to do the clump static grass, you can represent foliage perfect with that. It looks quite good.
But you got to be mindful how you're doing it, I think.
Yep.
Treating it like bushes on the base and not like
grass
they're walking through.
Yeah, and you
so
also
your placement of where it's going on the base is going to change how many
density.
You're putting on the... Yeah, exactly.
For sure. And you also have to make sure it's growing in something that makes sense. Like if you have a gray sort of rubble-looking base, why would you have trees growing there that are vibrant? Like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. You do have to pay attention to even what the colors you're using.
If you're using urban style rubble, you're not necessarily going to want that really thick, dense foliage for sure.
Or so, just the color, right? You want more like a dead sort of material compared to a bright green forest. Or
see, the reason I like the static grass tufts and generally static grass is I think having that vibrant accent on your base... Generally, three textures in your bases is a good way to go. And also having one color that breaks it up is not a bad idea either. But again, you got to weigh that with not taking away from the model. And that's tough to do in 10 mil scale.
And that's the other thing. The models themselves, the more you're putting on the base, they start disappearing.
Yep.
Which
can be something you're going for.
For me, the way that I've done some of the 10 millimeters is that I'll use that old GW one with the slightly bigger chunks. Periodically, in it.
The sand?
To be the boulders.
About?
Yeah, to be the sand.
Oh, yeah, that Mick, you still have some of that?
Oh, yeah.
That stuff was golden.
I love that stuff. And then I'll glue seal that, and then when I'm painting it, I'll do typically still, a brown for the main coat, but then I'll pick out those larger rocks, in grays, to, again, get a little bit of contrast on the base itself. And I do find that the wood flock is actually not bad for that scale, because that will be more representation of grass. Compared to your tufts.
It can sort
of
take over that static grass sort of role in 20 mil scale. I agree.
Yeah.
I do have to say one thing about this. You should mix your own batches, though, because sometimes the green is too dark or the green is too bright. You need a mix of browns and greens to actually make it feel right.
The same
more
way
natural.
Static grass comes
more
in.
Natural.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Colors.
You have to mix them. You can't just go with the one color and say, oh, this will be fine because it'll be too bright. It'll be too dark.
Yeah. You're going to have patches that are a little more dead in grass normally, so you do need to... That's a really good point, actually.
Yeah. And then
I
wouldn't do any basing with static grass, loose, because that itself kind of... It doesn't hold together as well. as a clump would for a bush representation. So I would go with the clumps for sure, just to have a better representation of bushes.
I want to come back to what you just said about those little boulders. One of the things that you see a lot on GW box art for their 28 mil scale stuff is they'll add in pieces of slate or little bits of boulders and pick those out in color at that scale.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks awesome because it does break up the bays. And I think what you're talking about, where you have the slightly different size grains of sand, would be absolutely perfect. I never thought of that. That's bang on what you want to do, for sure.
Yeah. And so for my bases, what I did was I used two of the new, well, not the new, two of the older texture paints. One was the crackle and one was the just straight up...
Sandy texture paint.
And so I did, you know, depending on the base, it would either be half and half or two thirds one, one third the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit of a glaze and then dry brush them both up. So they started with slightly different colors underneath. So you get a bit of a separation.
Yeah.
But because I'm going for more of a desert look with my resistance fighters, then getting it all kind of dry brushed up to bone, it still looks mostly like barren wasteland, but you got the two textures going on, which seems to work quite a bit. And then, like we're saying, at this scale, I think is where pigments really come into their own.
That makes sense. I've actually never done weathering powders at this scale, because typically the stuff I've done in the past has been before weathering powders were really a thing, like my Battlefleet Gothic and my Epic stuff that I had. And when I did my Dystopian, I just did a whole shitload of chipping fluid. So I actually have never done weathering powders at this scale.
To be fair, I think you could add in some... weathering powders to those as well.
Not going to happen. I don't care.
Because it's dystopian wars.
They're done.
Yeah. But you know, you're right. Totally.
Any other tips or tricks? Because this is a bit of a shorter one.
The other comment that I wanted to make with this is that what did she say?
That's the shorter one.
Oh. Sure. I mean, that's just a natural like look for your bases. If you wanted to go into like more of a urban sort of style,
mm-hmm.
I know that there was old plastic wall sections from Epic.
Yep.
And if you can get your hands on those would be amazing.
I think I still have a couple of them actually.
To get something really cool though, I don't know if you guys have a lot of slate, but there's the different debris that you can get, and they're usually sharp, jagged. If you place them pointing up instead of lying flat, they can look like pieces of wall or rubble as well at that scale, right?
That makes sense. I think one thing that I've seen some people do as well is sometimes you can get the really thinly sliced, like literally a millimeter or two cork tiles. Like sometimes they're used for like coasters like that. So you could kind of like, I have seen people rip those up and put that vertically. And then they'll just do, like, a little bit of texture on the side.
Like the cork stickers that you had?
Yeah.
Which were for the feet, I think, of, like, furniture and that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just super, super thin.
Yeah, there's a few ways to get it, but they are the really thinly sliced cork that you could... When you flip it up vertically as well, it can look like just a wall texture that you can dry brush a little
bit. When you flip that
up,
it
wouldn't be very durable, though.
Yeah. That one's going to be a little bit more...
Well, on that scale, though, if you're building a wall, you just really have to put, I think, a little bit of PVA glue on it.
Glue seal it all, yeah.
And it should be pretty durable. Actually, as durable as the tiny little resin models if you're doing drop zone. Or I guess drop zone metal. It's pewter for those guys for that reason. Otherwise, they would be broken every day.
One other thing I do want to point out is that there are a couple companies that do actually make more of a scenic base for this style.
Like Flames of War.
Like a resin insert.
They're actually plastic. They're full plastic detailed bases.
Really?
Oh,
and they have some Stalingrad ones that are fucking gorgeous. They've got the little brick walls and rubble and everything on them already.
Yeah.
Which looks really cool. And I'm just looking it up right now. There's a company that does make them third party. I think it's MDP. Yeah. MDP makes 10 mil ones.
In that rectangular shape?
Yep.
I saw a couple at the LVO. Like one guy had an army and he had all of his PHR
based.
Only
one guy had an army?
Only one. I bet you he painted it in 3 days. But
and they do have them in the 5 and 3
per stand
slots
for the individual dudes.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
What's the footprint of the base though?
Drop zone. It's like, the drop zone.
They're specifically the same size.
No, but the Flames of War is different than drop zone.
No, but these are the drop zone like size.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are those licensed?
Cool. I don't think so.
I don't know if you need to license a rectangle of a specific size.
No, but what are they saying? Drop zone specific?
No, they say 10 mil basis.
I thought you were...
And technically Flames of War is 15 mil anyways.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah, model display products, and then just their code for the item itself is DZ. INF, so I'm guessing.
I can't imagine why DZ drop zone infantry.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be crazy, but. No.
So you've got options there.
Just grabbing at anything today, man.
Yeah, no. But yeah, so I think weigh your options, and much like anything else that we talk about, just try to be mindful of what it is you're doing.
The scale,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it logically, and if you look at it and it makes sense, then you're good to go, right? Okay, so we've got the next period then to talk about something a little bit more out there, I guess. There's no real logical segue here. So
yeah, there's no logical
segue. I don't remember what the topic is.
Yeah, so we're letting Ward run.
Oh, we're gonna let me talk about it.
We're talking about other people's stuff.
Yeah, so basically taking intellectual properties and making miniature games out
licensed
of them.
Miniature games. That's right.
So something that the company itself didn't come up with, but they feel that it would be a good moneymaker, and people are clamoring for it, potentially.
Shake your moneymaker.
Something like that. So, I mean, some of the ones that are coming to mind just off the bat is...
Don't say AVP.
No, off the bat, off the bat, you have to be going...
Off the bat, Batman!
Night miniatures!
Batman.
Yeah!
So...
Yeah, we need to talk about the elephant in the room right off the bat is Lord of the Rings. That is
do we really?
Yes, that is by far...
The Moomak in the room?
The Moomak. Thank you.
Ollie fans?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I actually had forgotten that's
basically my extent of Lord of the Rings knowledge.
Tom, were you an Ollie fan of Lord of the Rings?
Oh, nice.
So I think everybody...
Let's just say my old gaffer was.
I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I think every single one of us was a GW employee during the movies, except for Mike.
Yeah.
I never let myself get contaminated like that.
We all worked the intro table at a movie theater.
I actually did not ever have to work an intro table at the movie theater.
I got to work the intro table with Fabian. It was awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
We mostly ate popcorn.
I did it with Lang at South Edmonton Comic. It was pretty good.
So, anyways, Lord of the Rings is, I think, probably the most divisive miniature game in history.
Because the people that like it fucking love it, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, and some people will tie it to GW's, every single poor decision GW's made in the last decade. Is around Lord of the Rings. I don't think it goes that far. I think it was a good idea, and I think generally licensed miniature games are usually done in the best of intentions, and 9 times out of 10 are actually pretty awesome.
And it's definitely a way to increase your exposure to people that are fans of a different but related genre, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
If GW just comes out with another specialist game, they're not necessarily going to get hordes of new players that have never seen a GW game before, because they're like, oh my god, Blood Bowl. Like... You know what I mean? Whereas if they bring in Lord of the Rings and they get some people that didn't already play Warhammer, that's one of the only ways they can get new players.
On the flip side to that, though, I mean, it is the new thing of the week, right? So there was the bubble that was Lord of the Rings, where when the movies were out, everybody was clamoring for those products and such. And then as soon as the movies...
It's almost like the free advertising disappeared overnight.
Yeah, right? It dried up, and then you hardly see those gamers anymore. You don't have as many new products with that, because you have to now renegotiate and try to delve more into the IP if there is a big enough background for
it. Yeah, and I think you've jumped forward into the issue with a lot of the miniatures games is when they are released, the people clamor for them. Like, I know I was super excited about AVP, super excited about Batman... excited about Lord of the Rings, even. I still have a whole Helm's Deep shitload of Lord of the Rings stuff. But the magic tends to wear off pretty quickly, I think.
Very, very fast, right? It doesn't have the staying power as a company-driven...
By its own IP. It doesn't have to worry about the legal ramifications of dealing with someone else's IP.
Well, not only that, but you also are dealing with the ramifications of the fact that it is a finite thing.
And you have to, they want to get out their entire product range very quickly. So it's like a huge, shotgun blast of stuff out there. They cover a lot of ground very quickly. They get all the releases out the door. And you don't really have that sense of, are there going to be future expansions? Is the game going to be supported a year and a half, 2 years down the road?
Is it going to be made a few years from now?
Yeah, I mean, the company itself, they can't affect the story or the history of whatever company it is that they're getting the IP from, right?
Yeah, so. And there might be it might be a separate license to get into any of the extended universe stuff. Like, a lot of those licenses as well are they're only for a couple years at a time, and they have to extend them. So if a few years down the road the terms are negotiated differently, they might have every intention of renewing the license, but the license owner might change the terms and make it unfeasible.
Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, you see that we've talked about this before, but Battletech almost falls into this category where there's issues with who owns the IP, and that IP is
like, less so, less so now. Really owns it.
Less so now because they've redesigned those mechs that they've lost the rights to enough that they can actually produce them by themselves now.
But it's been an issue for a long time.
Yes, it has definitely been a massive issue that haunted the game for like decades.
Yeah. So a company that I think has actually cornered the market on using other people's IP is Fantasy Flight. And we're going to see a really interesting progression as to where companies that use other companies' IP end up going, I think, in the next couple of years. Because now Fantasy Flight has lost their...
Yeah, they severed their ties with GW.
Yeah, so...
Really?
I thought you heard that. Yeah, all the games that they're... Gone. Did you see it?
Everything that has been announced and developed, will continue. I think up until about February, will be released. Yep. But basically, it's like once everything's gone, it's gone.
So Warhammer 40K Conquest, it actually has quite a cult following. It's been quite a popular game and sold decently well.
Especially among, like, there are a lot of those CCG players, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very different, separate hobby group, but there's not a small amount of them.
No, there's a huge number of them, and a lot of them would like to be 40K players, but let's be honest here, 40K is not a cheap game to get into. It takes a lot of time. You pick up Conquest if you're already a Magic player or whatever you might be. They have a tournament system that has been supported by Fantasy Flight, just like X-Wing, that's been quite popular, and it's just dropped. So I think what's going to be really interesting to see is in the next couple of years, what happens to that revenue stream, and if Fantasy Flight stakes themselves to another third-party IP, how damaging is that when you inevitably have the agreements expire?
And this is the problem. You're getting gameplay tied up in legal battles.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Whereas...
Yeah, you've been playing, let's say, Conquest for the last 4 years, I think it's been out. I want to say 4 years. I don't actually know because I don't play Conquest. But let's say you've been playing it for a long time and you're one of the best players in the world and you go to a lot of tournaments and suddenly that drops out from your hobby. Like, are you going to be reticent to pick up stuff from Fantasy Flight in the future? Like, would you get into X-Wing? Because who knows when it's going to run out with Disney.
Although I think they recently renewed that one long-term, because they sell all of the ships.
Yeah, it makes sense for them to do that. I'm sure it's
and they run about a million other Star Wars-related games. But still, the point is valid.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think anybody's going to drop that one, because that's super lucrative. But
you never know, right? Like, maybe they look at it as being lucrative, and they think, well, maybe we could do it better.
Or somebody else might bring it in house to
Disney. Disney makes their own toys with Hasbro. They could do their own stuff. Like, yeah, I know what you're saying.
You never know. And as great as these games can be, I guess maybe I'm coming into this a little more negatively than I should. But I'm always apprehensive when vying with IPs with different companies or legal entities.
Yeah,
like I'm always apprehensive to get into those games.
It's a red flag.
Yeah, now the thing is, though, it's a lot of the IPs are things people are super passionate about. Like, I know AVP...
How's that coming along?
Well,
I got literally nothing to report, thanks.
Besides that, me and you were both very excited, Dan, about that particular game system.
I remember. I was 400 pounds excited about it.
Yeah.
That's how much you... Oh my god, I forgot.
I bought literally everything except the, like, faction dice.
And
the
only reason... Just out of curiosity, you've received...
Okay, wait, I've received an email. I finally got an email.
Let's not bring it up, but in all honesty...
The hurt runs deep.
The reason I didn't pick it up is because Dan was like, don't worry, it's okay, I bought everything. You don't need to. So I still haven't played a game of AVP, but...
Neither is Dad.
I would... I would have bought the game for sure if circumstances had been different, just because of the IP. And it doesn't matter whether or not the company was proven as a track record, whether or not the game system was even good, whether its replayability was there.
I have zero interest in ever playing the game. I just want all those fucking models.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, a lot of people got that. I know, Tom, you got that way about Batman because the IP wasn't even just Batman. It was the animated series style IP.
Yeah.
Right? And you jumped kind of off the deep end. How's your Batman going?
Well, every time I went to try and buy it, there was always one or two pieces out of stock, and so I never pulled the trigger.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to buy some Knight models from Meeple Mart to troll you guys with at some point, but all the ones I was interested in weren't in stock either.
They sell out really fast.
Yes, it seems like they're hard to get.
And the Marvel ones are disappearing quick off.
Yeah, apparently it's impossible to find the X-Men.
The X-Men, yeah, they're just
gone. I wanted to get Iron Man to play Batman with you guys and then laugh as they're incompatible systems.
But it would just be like every time I'd be...
But the only one they had in stock was Hulkbuster, and it was like $60. That's an expensive joke.
Yep.
Not as expensive as ATP.
Yeah, he's got a point there. Yeah,
I mean, for me, the big concern is the flavor of the week. Like right now, Spartan is
the flavor
is
of the week is salty tears. At least for me,
for Dan,
is that
for
even
quite
doing
a while.
Well, though, before you go too far,
That's the thing, right? So, I mean, when the Halo games were coming out, it was a good idea, and now that
was it.
You haven't?
No, it was a great idea because a lot of people are very passionate about Halo. I like Halo quite a bit, and I actually thought about picking that stuff up because I also like ship combat games, but it very quickly wore off once sort of the shiny, oh my god, they're
but like, didn't
Halo?
We talk about this before where like Spartan just missed the point where a skirmish based 28-32 mil
they've
would have been a better idea to launch with.
I think
we have talked about that.
I think that's a, well, I've got a totally different conversation about that, but we can do that for a different podcast. But Halo itself, like you said, like you were excited for it right off the bat. Yeah. And now even stuff that's trickling out now is not gaining very much popularity. Like nobody I know like locally plays it.
Does anybody you know actually own it? Because I don't know anybody that actually owns it.
I think Drew might own it.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I know Jason likes space games, so I wouldn't put a pass.
The people that I know that have talked about it were like, "Oh my god, this is so amazing and exciting!" And then,
but it's a bubble. If there's nothing that is carrying the rest of the interest for that game system, it's hard pressed to gain a following necessarily. It's very clicky then for gamers.
And once you also get through the iconic portions of that IP, like X-Wing starting, I think, in my opinion, to run into this, where they're now really having to dig deep. And the
God Disney's coming out with a movie every single year.
Yeah.
And so they'll have stuff for the next foreseeable, like, 5 or 6 years.
Because they
now
can't add stuff to that universe just willy-nilly. Like, they have
Interestingly enough, the, what's it called? The Raider Corvette for X-Wing and Armada, it was invented by Fantasy Flight with permission from Lucasfilm or whatever.
Yeah, they've done one ship.
But still, like, that's not a normal thing that happens.
No, that was over and above.
That's fucking cool that they let them do that.
Yeah, and it's only because that's probably been the most successful third-party miniature game, I think, ever. I would honestly say that X-Wing probably has now sold Lord of the Rings.
Okay, X-Wing. So. Look at it this way, Steve. Space Marines used to outsell Lord of the Rings. X-Wing outsells 40K.
But
X-Wing is outsold 40K.
Actually, I thought X-Wing was considered the top game right now.
I don't actually know.
Based on sales?
Like, by most sales estimates, I think it supposedly is.
But also look at the interest, like, levels, right? I mean, like, Halo has only come out for, like, a little while, and the interest
Halo's
level there's...
Oh, do you mean the game or, like, the video
game? The video game's been out
for, like, 15 years now.
But, I mean, they didn't have the game itself for that at the point in time, right? Compared to, like...
The miniatures game is very new.
Compared to, like, Star Wars, which has been around for... since 77, so 40 years close to, and the interest is still there, and new generations are still getting interest in it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, though,
and that's why it's carrying it on.
The universe...
There's always...
that's exactly it, though. The universe for Star Wars is incredibly deep. Like, you've got comic books and animated series and 7 movies, 8 pretty soon to draw on. Like, you've got a stupid amount of IP.
And Ewok Adventures.
Ewok Adventures.
The Christmas special.
Oh my god.
You do. It's tried to be scoured please from the internet, stop. But it's not happening.
I'm bleeding.
But like, you know what would make Star Wars a lot better? Copious amounts of cocaine.
That's the thing.
That's why it's a Christmas special. It's supposed to have snow.
X-Wing. Oh, God. X-Wing has that huge IP to draw on, which is why Lord of the Rings maybe should have done better. It has arguably more IP to draw on, if anybody's read The Silmarillion.
Yeah, but Lord of the Rings, the problem there...
It's the delivery system. Like, people, it's easier to put on a movie than it is to read the books, right? Yeah. So they could go back and, like, the Unfinished Tales and Silmarillion and all that.
And that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, but at that point, how many people are going to actually be drawn in by that?
And Lord of the Rings was a skirmish game that was sold as an army-scale game. The rule set was ideal for 6 to 12 models, and it was built as a game that you were playing with 50.
Yeah.
Like, there were issues in execution there.
There's also secondary issues, too, because you have models that... The demographics for a miniature game a painted miniature game are shockingly small.
Oh, yeah.
Like, X-Wing, one of the reasons X-Wing does so well is because it is pre-painted.
Yep.
You can get basically like that micro machine type style model, which was a big draw for a lot of kids that wanted toys, right? They would buy that stuff, and then we still really haven't grown up, so makes sense. So,
and I think for me, the biggest thing is that when you're thinking about an IP, and again, we're being pretty critical about this whole idea.
I think it's a bad idea, though.
Yeah, me too. Is when you're looking at any universe, there's normally a couple characters, because most IPs are narratives.
Yep.
And a narrative focuses on a few characters, not an army. So for me, I'm looking at playing Batman, I'm like, I fucking love the Penguin. But once I get beyond the Penguin, it's like his random thugs. I don't really care. But for a game to have balance, you need more than one model on one model. You want to be playing with those like six plus kind of crews to have any real traction. And you lose some of that fun of the narrative.
And I think that's why the Marvel game is picking up a little bit more steam compared to the Batman game, because you have like one villain and like a crew of randoms, compared to the Marvel game where it seems like groups of superheroes and groups of supervillains going against each other, which is a little bit more.
You don't have the random thugs.
No, right? It's just like, okay, we're going to...
Pyro may as well be.
we're going to have the...
If you like that universe, paint it up, play that. Like, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think right now with...
And it actually is supposedly a very War Machine-inspired rule set with, like, feats and everything.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Actually,
so War Machine's inspired by War Machine?
Sure. That's a bit of... No.
No, that wasn't really meant as a joke. That was, like, a...
I feel like you meant it as a joke, and you're backpedaling.
No, I'm just falling down a hill.
So,
that's all it is.
And I mean, like,
it's an unintentional backpedal.
The Marvel movies right now...
Gears off the bike.
...are doing awesome, right? Like, Marvel essentially can't do any wrong.
They have a license to print money at this point.
Right? I mean...
Doctor Strange.
It's going to be amazing.
Really?
Which we might go to see in Calgary if you're interested.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be good.
Yeah.
We're now totally in a tangent.
But anyway...
We should come back to whether...
I'm talking about Marvel.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
shut your mouth.
And there'll be... And Doctor Strange models.
And Doctor Strange models will probably come out and happen.
I want to give myself a cover badge. Like
okay.
But I mean, like, right now, Marvel is... I keep saying this, flavor of the week. But the interest right now is with the movies and such. And I mean, those night models can't stay on the shelves very much. So with that, where is the bubble going to burst? So hopefully you like the models and you buy them and they continue on for a while. But you run into that risk of, somebody else buying up that IP, or they just breaking the contract.
Well, I don't think anyone's... Not Night Miniatures to me. I thought you meant like somebody else buying Marvel. I'm like, no, I think Disney's probably going to hold on to that.
It's what, $2 billion, give or take? So
like a year.
I just meant, Night Models, like losing the contract and somebody else coming in, right? That sort of thing.
Night Models used to do Star Wars, and I always wanted a bunch of the Star Wars models, and then all of a sudden it was like, hey, can you still get those? No, they don't have the rights anymore.
And they've got Lord of the Rings models, and like...
Like, so it's not unheard of for Knight Miniatures to radically switch gears, which means, like, if you like the game, you probably shouldn't wait. If you ever find them in stock somewhere, you should probably pick it up. Because you never know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, in general, I think, unless it is a very special mitigating circumstance, don't get your hopes up about these game systems, because they may not have great rules, they may not be around a long time.
If you can, try before you buy, for sure.
But that being said, if the problem with these games, if you do like them, yeah, pick them up. Because, again, you don't know when they're going to drop out. So it's kind of one of those things where if it's AVP, buy it all.
Well, and I think that's the...
That worked out great for me.
You've got to view it like a board game.
Yeah.
I think, where you buy what you think will be fun to play with, all sides involved.
Yeah.
And it's something that you'll bust out every once in a while to recreate.
Yeah.
So that you have the stuff, you can pull it off your shelf, put it on a table.
Because it's important to you. It's not that it's going to be a tournament game and stick around. If you want a game system that you can play for a long time, pick a game system that the company that's producing it owns the IP.
Because they actually have control.
And even then, you know, you're not necessarily in great boat either, but generally it's better. So that's my thought on third-party game systems.
And if there were any, I mean, there's not, let's be real, but if there were any people from these gaming companies that work with licensed IP, my recommendation would be, like, for the love of God, be upfront with the customer base for how long you have the license for. Because AVP, for example, it was one of those random rumored things that they kind of, like, hint at on the Facebook and kind of not or whatever, but I think they're in negotiations again to extend their contract for the IP right away.
Really?
And there's still people that haven't got their initial batch. So God knows what happens if that contract lapses, right? Like, do they finish the stuff they're obligated to do, or can they even do that? So it's something that I would very much like Star Wars did, or sorry, Fantasy Flight did with Star Wars, is when they sign that extension, just be like, ta-da, news release, we have this until like 2020, so people at least know whatever the date is. I think it was something like 4 or 5 years. But you feel like you have a little bit of security, because you know how long they have the license for.
Yep.
And at least shows their intention long-term.
Yeah.
So I think if the companies themselves could be more transparent about that, that would be fantastic, so you don't have the rug pulled out from under you quite so rapidly.
Unexpectedly,
Or at least so you don't have to worry about that.
For sure. All right. I think that sort of covers our rant. I don't think we should give a review system on random third-party games, because they're just too all over the place.
just be cautious.
Yeah.
Cautiously optimistic and... Yeah. If you like the models, buy the models, and hopefully they continue the game.
Paint them up so other people can play with them, because you're probably not going to have as many people as excited about it as you are.
Yep. Probably a safe bet.
No. Cool. Moving on.
Well, that's it. Ward, what do we got coming up?
This weekend, we actually have two events coming up. We've got the board game convention for Game A Lot.
It'll be over.
Okay.
So right. Just skip this weekend. We know it's Onslaught. We know it's Game A Lot.
Okay, let's go to the painting clinic down in Calgary, November 5th and 6th. There's still a couple spots available.
Oh, is there?
And on top of that, Dallas did bring in a few of the extra Barbarian models. So that if anyone does want to sign up last minute, there are a few available.
Yeah, they're the 75mm fig, so it's quite a different scale that most people don't paint, so it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it, actually, so...
Yeah, me too. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I know with certainty now that I am not on call that weekend, so I can relax knowing I don't have to try any like ninja BS to make it work.
Okay.
So it's going to happen, and it's going to be amazing.
Right on.
November 19th is Team OP 9th Age Captains Tournament down in Century Box. $20 at the door, 3 team members per team, and some more 9th Age. It's picking up steam, that's for sure. December 3rd is the Edmonton Brawler at the Strathen United Church, 40K and other systems. I'm not sure exactly what other systems are going to throw in, probably some War Machine. I know they've tried some Malifaux and such as well, so...
I feel like that one might be Malifaux.
Malifaux?
But definitely check their Facebook page.
Yep, there'll be more information there.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there's also going to be 40K.
Well, there's always 40K.
Yeah. So the other point with that is if you want to play before LVO, that's probably one of your last chances.
They've also got the January Brawler on January 21st.
Oh, they announced that? Okay.
Yeah, so they've got that one, and then Out of the Basement will have their event before... Vegas as well.
Yep. Okay.
So there'll be a couple more opportunities for sure to get some more 40K practice. Not that I'm interested or need that.
I'm out to lunch. I thought there was no way for them. So anyways, never mind.
So you're good for that. So, and then I know that there is also going to be another Age of Sigmar. I believe Paul Ting's putting it on in December, and we'll get some more information on that.
As soon as he lets us know this weekend.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
Great. Yeah, we'll be able to talk to him in person and get some information. So, but that's what we got for events. If you're thinking of anything else, let us know and we'll go from there.
So before we wrap up again, I'll just give a quick update on the scientific
smashing
of paint.
Us watching paint dry.
So, yes, us talking about watching paint dry. Get it right. So the base that I did with, like the flat style base with just the iron crust, iron earth, and a little bit of the Sterland battle mud.
Mm-hmm.
Or battle mire, I should say. That one is basically dry after an hour and 5 minutes. And the really thick, shallow blank base thing is definitely still moist and not dry. Huh. So I really am quite happy with how the thinner, like traditional style base is turning out. But it's not your instantaneous, like 15 minutes working time when you put it on thicker. That's for fucking sure.
And you have to have it on thicker to make it work. And this still isn't fully dry.
It's not definitely not fully dry, but like it is starting to crack. I'm quite happy with the texture. I'm very pleased with it. And the brown part in the corner actually touched up a few of the spots where it didn't go on thick enough.
Yep.
So that's why it still looks way
better. Yeah, it's taking.
But the iron crust, like, it's not super crackly or whatever, but I actually really like that texture.
Yeah, me too.
So I think.
So I'm down with a 4.
I guess for me, if it's used as a supplement,
a mixture, or in conjunction
with the other one. Is probably where it comes into its best. So if you're using both on the same base, then I could maybe see it being in that 4 territory. On its own, it's a hard 3.
A hard 3.
Yeah.
But like we always say, 2 or 3 textures on a base is probably the happy zone where you want to be most of the time anyway.
Yep.
So iron crust, iron earth, plus your like sandy, gritty texture, whether it is sand or texture paint, I think you're really fucking good to go. And a little bit of dry brush or pigment.
As a... Or both.
Or both.
And you're in good shape.
Yep, so I think this stuff is solid. No complaints from me.
Alright, well, until next time, this has been another... Oh my god.
We're done today, guys!
And
we done, bitches!
We done, bitches!